I was there for a long time, and my responsibilities and the prominence of my contributions diminished over time rather than expanding. And that's not a good trend line if you're a mid-career professional. So looking out at the next couple of years, trying to imagine what those next couple of years would be like at a program with really significant funding problems and a declining audience, if you're already being asked to make a shrinking contribution to such a program, the future doesn't look that great. Would 2014, 2015, 2016 have been better if I stayed for a 15th, 16th, and 17th year at the NewsHour? I decided that was not likely, and no harm, no foul. I left in good terms with my bosses. I miss my old co-workers, but it just wasn't a good situation for me anymore, personally.
When you left PBS, were you already in talks with Al Jazeera America?
Yes. I had begun talking to them, but it's important to note, long after I had decided I had to leave the NewsHour. I had some other things going, and I was going to go do them, and then Al Jazeera came along and said, let's talk about Inside Story.
You told The Wrap in an interview that everything that you'd done for the last 20 years has been leading up to Al Jazeera and the Inside Story, your Al Jazeera program. What exactly did you mean by that?
What that show demands is a host with really significant experience covering domestic news, national news, and international news. And because of the way the business goes in most places in America, most people who are doing this kind of work don't have all three, in the main, I think it's fair to say. But because of the peculiar way my career has gone on since 1976, when I first walked into a newsroom and got a salary, I have long-term experience, domestic, national, and international. And that's the package that Inside Story needs, because one day it's the Fed and what its new chairman, Janet Yellen, is going to mean to the operation of that institution. Another day, it's the recovery of the housing market in cities across the country. And then the next day, it's the banning of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And you need to be able to discuss international, national, and local news in a way that reflects a deep understanding of all three. And so everything that I had been doing in 30-plus years had been leading up to a job like this that asks for that, demands it on a regular basis.
How much does it appeal to you at Al Jazeera that they have promised that they will keep with a hard news emphasis?
Oh, it's instrumental in getting me to work there, absolutely. Their commitment to doing it what I look at as the right way and look at it as the right way for the long haul, those things make Al Jazeera a very attractive place to work for me. Al Jazeera America is going to dig in on stories like the bankruptcy of Detroit, the rebuilding of New Orleans after Katrina, in a deep, thorough, and long-term way. Because unlike a lot of other places, we have bureaus in New Orleans and Detroit. Violence in Chicago, we have a bureau there. The latest developments in tech and trade relations with Asia, we have a bureau in Seattle and another one in Los Angeles. It is really exciting to be at a place that's growing instead of shrinking, hiring experienced people instead of laying them off, and ready to spend money to cover the news. You know, news coverage is much more expensive than talk shows. If you send somebody overseas with a producer and a camera crew and an editor to do stories about, let's say, the South Sudan, as is in the news right now, newest country on the planet, some terrible birth pains, some really, really threatening crises there. You get 3 minutes an hour, 4 minutes an hour, 6 minutes an hour out of them. It's brutally expensive to have somebody in Juba, the capital of South Sudan. And yet, we as a company, Al Jazeera America, looks at the world and says, that's something we ought to be covering, and we still cover it, even though it's really expensive. a lot of our domestic competitors in the broadcast and cable world look at stories like that and don't send anybody. They just acquire foreign-generated content because there are so many people out there shooting. You just buy stories from syndication services. We are dedicated, certainly in what I've seen so far, and the network's only been on the air since August 20th, to putting our own stamp on this storytelling. And I think in the short term, if people check us out, they'll see something that's distinctive about that. But over the long term, I think it'll prove its value.
Ray Suarez, along those lines, WAMC has bureaus throughout its coverage region, and we opened a new bureau this year in Saratoga. Alan Chartok has been dedicated to regional news. What kind of advice do you have for the survival of traditional media outlets?
Doing the same thing as everybody else when they've got more money to do it is not a great recipe for long-term success. So you've got to do something that other people aren't doing. And for public broadcasting, both radio and television, that's going to mean being hyper-local to a degree and providing content. Right now, so much content is syndicated. If you don't live in one of the largest media markets in the country, if you're in what's disdainfully referred to as flyover country, you simply won't see your issues covered. And there are big issues. If Upper New York State is talking about fracking and the future of using hydraulic fracturing to get natural gas out of the ground, how often are you going to see World News Tonight do that? Or the Today Show do that? Or the CBS Sunday Morning program do that? They're just not going to do it the way local media is. And once deregulation took away from local broadcasters the burden and requirement of doing local news, in many places, only non-commercial media is dedicated to covering the school board meetings, the county commission, and the rulings it makes about a big new development project somewhere near the interstate. The kinds of stories that matter to a very small place geographically, but have big, big downstream effects. It's public radio that's going to send a reporter to cover the things that shape your life day to day. And that hyperlocality is a value, an important value, and one that has to be maintained. And I hope one that the public supports in a way that says, that uses the dollar like a vote and says, yes, we not only want more of this, but we need more of it.